how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Once upon a time, three bears found a golden-haired guest who wouldn't leave their home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. Mm, and this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
Should we introduce ourselves?
No, Barry. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
If your small business has a problem, you could say,
ugh, just my luck.
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking, get your questions in, and we'll get to those here in just a little bit. But first, guys, we got a lot of topics to touch on this morning, so let's dive right into it. And Bobby, I'm going to start with you. Some changes, or upcoming changes, I guess I should say, with the NCAA, some rulings made, all that good stuff happening over the last few days. Can you give everybody a rundown on that?
Yeah, actually, it happened last night or yesterday afternoon late, and it's a hallmark day in NCAA history, in my opinion. Just 2 years ago, the NCAA argued over allowing athletes to get $6,000 for cost of living. 20 years ago, they argued over $25 in laundry money every month for kids. Well, yesterday, they decided that it's okay to pay athletes $2.8 billion. and so the NCAA has done a complete and abrupt, I should say abrupt, complete about face about that. Simultaneously, I want to say this. I mean, people that say, oh, well, athletes shouldn't get paid, et cetera. I think that there was a time when maybe that was true. The cost of a scholarship actually outweighed their value to the universities. But when college football and ESPN started, that kind of changed because the money got so big.
Yep.
And it has just continued to get bigger and bigger and bigger, especially as football has, and I hesitate to say this, Blake, but football has become America's pastime, not baseball.
Right.
And that started in the 60s and 70s and has become the number one sport in the United States. And so all of this has happened over the last 40, 50 years, really. Baseball used to be the sport. Now it's football. I think, 92 of the top 100 television programs in the United States in 2023 were NFL games. Four of them were college games by comparison. And then the other four were like the Academy Awards. So, I mean, That tells you how much TV space football occupies and why these players probably deserve more than they've been receiving over time. And so it's changed. Life has changed. And here's another reason why, Blake, you sent this around to the group, to our internal group yesterday, why I don't have one hill of a a concern about paying these players. In his final year as Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby made $12.5 million as the commissioner of the Big 12 to watch it fold. One guy that didn't appear on television once or really do anything, frankly, other than be a lifelong administrator, made $12.5 million in a single year. Well, or what was it, 12 and a half or 17 and a half?
Like 17.5.
Yeah, 17 and a half. So I'm going to tell you this. You could have paid every scholarship football player in the Big 12 conference, every single one of them, okay, 50 grand for roughly three times that salary. So I have no problem, zero, with these players and the NCAA deciding finally to act appropriately. The question is, will they continue to act appropriately going forward and still allow NIL or whatever else these players? Hey, look, it's a, I'm a media personality. Jerry, Blake, you guys are too. You guys in your jobs, y'all try to make as much money as you can too. There's no reason these guys, if the NCAA keeps trying to put more restraints on them, I get the feeling that I don't think the NCAA is doing this out of its own heart. I think they're being forced to do it by the law of the land, and then they're going to try to backtrack into whatever they think is best for them. And that's where I'm concerned with. That's what I'm concerned with going forward. But at least as of yesterday, that is now they have voted for that settlement to go forward. The NCAA itself and its board of governors, all of the major conferences, as well as 17 of the 22 non-conference players. So it is going forward into settlement.
Well, here, I'll wrap this up really quick. What happened yesterday was the NCAA got a 5.0 taken to them.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there you go.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, and I don't begrudge anybody making money. Like Bob Bowlesby, more power to you, Bob. But don't then tell the other guys they can't make money too.
Hey, real quick, guys, we got a couple of questions regarding this while we're on the subject here, but and a pretty good one. Phil wants to know, do you think this changes recruiting any?
I think they're going to try to make it change recruiting. That's my point. I think that's really my point. They're going to try to say, oh, well, now you have a salary cap, which is, you know, interesting. We're going to create a salary cap, and then we're going to restrict NIL. You can't the minute you start restricting earnings of these players is the minute you're going against. I mean, you just can't do that. That's what I'm trying to say. There are going to be people within the NCAA say, oh, well, we want Connecticut to be on the same wavelength as Texas when it comes to what they can do. It just doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. And so I think they're going to try to go to Capitol Hill to get I can't remember the name for it, but a deal where they can actually define what people can be paid, et cetera, and what real NIL is. If you're a private company and you want to pay somebody money, you can do it. I mean, that's beyond me. So
well, last time the NCAA got to the Supreme Court level, right, they lost 9-0.
Yeah, they got no chance.
They'll lose 9-0 again on anything they do on this.
Yeah.
Their precedent's been set. I think the NCAA trying to act like there's going to be a salary cap is a bit of saving face for college athletics. I think they know they can't.
Maybe. I don't know what they think necessarily. I can read between the lines, and they want to try to make it to where it's fair and all this other stuff. Well, you know, life isn't necessarily fair. It doesn't work that way. You know, if you're no offense, but you know, if you're a five-star quarterback going to Texas, there's a level there that life is not fair. So I get it when the salaries in the NFL are 10 times what they will be in college football, by the way. Let's be clear about that. Oh, well, they're going to get $20 million for all sports. Well, okay. So you take 5 million probably for the other sports. It's 15 million for college football. I got news for you guys. That's probably not fair market value for some of them. That's the reality. And I'm sorry if I'm coming out hard on this. I just feel like it's going to be difficult. And I think administrators know, and some have already spoken out about this, that it's going to be hard. The genie is out of the bottle. Stop trying to put the genie back in the bottle. If you do that, then you have a chance to look forward. If you keep trying to put the genie back in the bottle, you're just going to get, it's going to be like the little boy that's trying to put his finger in every hole that goes in the dam that starts springing a new leak. Stop trying to put the genie back in the bottle. That would be my comment to NCAA and many of its member institutions.
Okay, guys. Well, one thing that doesn't have to be hard, Bobby, is escaping the insurance trap. And I'm going to let you tell folks how they can do that with BKCW.
Yeah, absolutely, Blake. Today's show is being brought to you by our friends at BKCW Insurance. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year. And then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing no value and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW takes you out of the insurance trap by providing you with actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of their headquarters in Austin, Texas, and owned by UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk and employee benefits. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and transportation companies to nonprofits and school districts. So you'll get matched up with someone who knows your risks and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment again at bkcw.com or send an email info@bkcw.com to get started and support, get the support you deserve with your business.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, Kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
And we want to thank them for sponsoring each and every Friday right here on Coffee and Football. And as always, a lot of stuff going on, I guess I should say, in recruiting. Jerry, what's the latest there?
Yeah, so Texas staffers wrapped up the spring evaluation period. That concludes, I believe, today. That the spring evaluation period's concluded. I think most Texas coaches were off the road after yesterday. I think we have some huddle tape on Nick Brooks I want to bring up. That was one of the last stops that Kyle Flood made. Bobby Burton talked about that yesterday, I believe. But Nick Brooks, offensive lineman out of Cedar Rapids, JFK High, there in Iowa, still looks like a Texas-Georgia battle. So Texas offensive line, there he is throwing poor kids around. 6'6", about 350. Looks like Texas-Georgia visit. He visits Georgia May 31st through June 2nd. He goes to USC, then he goes to Texas, then Iowa gets the last visit. He doesn't even need a helmet to win. But I don't think it's going to be Iowa. He could play with a leather helmet on at this level and beat everybody up. But it looks like, you know, Texas made up some ground after that spring game visit. So it's going to be interesting to see if Juan Gaston commits early out of Westlake, if Georgia closes him out on May 31st, June 2nd weekend, be interesting to see. I'm not sure those two guys go to the same school. We'll see. So Texas has a legitimate shot there at Nick Brooks. So while it's a great year in state, I think there's two out-of-state offensive linemen that we're really monitoring right now. That's John Mills at San Francisco St. Ignatius, and it's Nick Brooks. And I think both those guys are tremendous football players. Bobby, I know you've watched both those guys. What do you like about Nick Brooks?
Well, first of all, I got to say this. I love it to wake up in the morning, and one of the first things I do is watch offensive line film. it starts the day right. You know, you can see some guy mauling somebody else. You're like, okay, it's going to be a good Friday. I think Brooks is one of those supersized guys that Kyle Flood talks about, Cam Williams type level size potentially. And has enough athleticism to play tackle. My take on it with this is just how well Texas is recruiting the offensive line overall again. Matt, or Jerry and Blake, that's where I come in on this. I mean, I am a big believer in recruiting the two lines of scrimmage, and Texas doing it the way they did last year with Brandon Baker and Daniel Cruz, and now Nate Kibble's going to arrive. They're going to do it again this year. I think that we talked about yesterday or a couple days ago with Rod about not wanting Texas to be a one-hit wonder. The way you make your team not a one-hit wonder and have consistency is through the offensive and defensive lines, because you can go pick up a wide receiver or a quarterback even, or some other positions in the portal. You can't go pick up five offensive linemen. And it's hard as heck, Texas knows it, to pick up five defensive tackles or defensive linemen in the portal. So that's the way for success. That's why watching offensive linemen on a Friday morning and gets me excited a little bit. So I'm good with that, Jerry.
So I'm going to do my speed dating recruiting 5 minutes here while we do this. All right, E. Kim, morning from Rockford, Illinois. How's the 2026 D-line class in the state of Texas look? A little light in the britches right now, but a lot of those guys will pop up during the season in 2024. What that means, though, is there's not the depth of frontline guys at an early age. Like this 25 class, you knew going in last season who to watch already. Did a really good. There could be national guys, Zion Williams, Dylan Battle, go down that list. Obviously, Dylan Battle has a little shoulder, so he's been out this spring. That's kind of hampered his recruitment. But you knew there was three, four guys, boom, that were going to be national recruits at some level. And then you had, as the season moved on, Floyd Guidry at spring, Chase Sims down at Richmond Randall. You kept adding pieces to that So I don't know if it has the top line guys in 26, but I think the depth will come in that. So this question's been asked here, Clay Gorham. Would landing Fasusi impact our chances with turn time? Probably. I mean, look, it's easy to say, well, just move the other guy to right tackle, but do both those guys see themselves as left tackle? Oh, and Brandon Baker is at Texas as well. So, yeah, does it mean you're out? I wouldn't say that. Does it give the competition a song to sing? Absolutely. And the Turntime family is they're smart recruiting people. The dad was an all-conference player at TCU for 2 years. Turntime's a stud. All right, Jerry, with you saying we don't get all three, which do you think we'll get as far as three or four wide receiver class? Daniel's referencing story I put up on TexasFootball.com this morning. I put 50-50. How many targets I think Texas enters June that are officially visiting, how many of those targets Texas has a 50-50 shot or better to land? And I had four receivers on that group, and that was DeCorian Moore, that's Jamie French, that's Kalik Lockett, and that's Kelshawn Johnson. What he's referencing was in that discussion, which we have a good discussion going on TexasFootball.com about this, I don't see, as of yesterday, information I got, I don't think Texas will get more French and Kalik Lockett. I just don't, the odds aren't high. I know the internet hype is running with it, but I'm not on that train right now. I think if two of those guys jump in, it's unlikely the third does. But I've said this about Texas wide receiver class all along. And look, it's deep class. I mean, guys like Marcus Harris, really good player, right, out at modern day. But I think if Texas walked away with three of the four, DeCorian Moore obviously is number one. Then you have French. Then you have Lockett, who are very similar guys. Then you have Kelshawn Johnson. Those are kind of the four for me. I think if you walked away with Moore, one of French or Lockett and Kelshawn Johnson, you've had a hell of a wide receiver class, period. And will it be three or four? That's gone back and forth. So we'll see which way that goes. I think it depends on who it is. Let's see. This one's from Zane Petty. Hey, GH, if Georgia won't let kids leave Georgia to go to Texas, how late let Brooks go to Georgia over Texas if they want to? I think the key there for me is Daniel Calhoun was an Atlanta area kid. Kirby Smart just wasn't going to let that happen. And then I'm interested to see how big of a push Georgia makes for Kevin Wynn, the four-star D lineman who scheduled to visit Georgia May 31st, June 2nd, which is their big weekend, then Texas the 14th through 16th. Because I think with that official visit in Texas making a push there, I think that changes things a little bit for Georgia with Kevin Wynn. He's a very good player, but Georgia was in on so many D linemen. I think they could live with the guy going to Florida State. I'm not sure that Kirby and those guys can live with Kevin Wynn from 40 miles away going to Texas. But what's the difference there with Nick Brooks? He's obviously from Iowa. So Juan Gaston from Atlanta Westlake has been scheduled to officially visit Texas. I'm not sure those two guys end up at the same school. So that might surprise a lot of schools recruiting both of those guys if they ended up at the same school. So we'll see what happens. But I just think it's different, the in-state guys. I don't think Kirby wants Texas to win on the big-time offensive or defensive lineman in that Atlanta area or around that Athens area if they can. And eventually it'll happen, but as long as they can hold it off from happening. Corey J, have you talked about Mataya Tagoi, the linebacker from San Clemente? Now, you look, Texas hadn't backed off of him. They're going to give it a run. We've continued to have him on the official visit list. We believe this will be a two-horse race. He might visit some other places. He's committed to USC. I think it'll be USC or Texas. I think he's a tremendous player and that Texas will go all in on him. And see what happens. And then Madden Faremo, the other linebacker from San Capistrano. I think those two plus Pettijohn and Elijah Barnes, Texas offered a linebacker from the Seattle area yesterday as well. We'll see if they get him in on an official visit. But I think those four guys, obviously Barnes committed, one of the best in the country. Riley Pettijohn from McKinney, one of the best in the country. And the two Cali kids, I mean, that's four of the top, I don't know, 8, 9 linebackers, 10 linebackers in the country, depending on what rankings you look at and all that. But Texas, I believe Texas is absolutely on the right linebackers. And I think they're going to have a really good linebacker class. So there's your recruit speed dating and recruiting Here's another one. Anything on tight end recruiting at the moment? I think this is going to play out with the June official visits. Nick Townsend from Decaney, I believe, is going to be Alabama or Texas at the end of the day. Keyote Armstrong, I believe, will be Texas or Texas A&M. Obviously, Amari Winston's committed. Then Caleb Edwards from El Dorado Hills in California. He's visiting June 7th through 9th. I think Texas will get two of the four guys and have a two-man tight end class.
There you go.
Do you think Amari Winston sticks? Because that's the question I have. Because Armstrong, Winston, and I—that's the one. I mean, I don't mean to say I have no insider knowledge here. It just seems like that happened very early, not unlike Anthony Johnson, the linebacker down at Shadow Creek. Jerry, do you think that sticks? All signs point towards it sticking. At least at this point.
At this point, yes. We'll see what happens with the June visits. I think that's kind of going to be the key. I think Texas would have a tough time turning if Townsend and Armstrong both wanted in the class. I think Texas would have a tough time turning them down.
Yeah, me too.
So Greg Jackson asked one I want to answer real quick. How much does Texas have in Tank King, the linebacker from 2026 PA Memorial? They love him. They offered him. He will not be at June 1st elite camp because he's a pretty good baseball player, not a major league guy. But he's got a baseball tournament that week, and he'll be on Texas campus later in June. But the other linebacker that plays on the same 7-on-7 team, Kosi Opala from Maid Creek, plays for Rashad Bobbinos, the DC there. He told me yesterday he will be at the June 1st elite camp. But Texas loves both of those guys, Houston area, Beaumont Triangle. Golden Triangle area in 2026. They really like Tank King. Very instinctive linebacker. Look, well, he's going to be a four-year starter at Port Arthur Memorial at inside linebacker. Just look how many guys have been four-year starters at Port Arthur Memorial and over the last 20 years. There's not many. He's a really good player.
Before we move on, fellas, Richard Bostic says tomorrow's my birthday. I'm checking in from the Sandals in Barbados.
Tough life there, Richard. Tough life.
We should go down there and celebrate with him.
Yes. I think so.
How about a live stream?
Happy we'd early birthday.
Gary, we'd find some place and just live stream our toes in the beach and the waves hitting behind us. That's what we do.
Well, hey, guys, yesterday Texas removed the Big 12 logos off the field. But on the SEC ones, you can see it there as it's about to be installed or in the process of getting installed, I guess I should say. It's right around the corner, y'all. Can you believe it?
I love it.
Yeah.
25-yard line. Big 12. Hey, it's over the top of the Big 12. And the Big 12 logo actually is a little bit wider, but not as tall. So there were some close-up photos of that yesterday, Blake. The Big 12 logo was wider, but not as tall. SEC, more obviously round than the Big 12 logo. So, look, I'm all about it. It's going to be in burnt orange and white, too.
Yeah.
No SEC colors or anything like that, whereas the Big 12 had their own colors to it. It's going to be burnt orange and white.
Good look.
Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, yesterday we had Texas softball head coach Mike White on with us. It was always good to talk to him. It's been the second time that he's been on. But the Longhorns start the Super Regional against Texas A&M. That game starts today at 5 p.m. Game 2 tomorrow at 4 p.m. And then if needed, which hopefully it won't be, Game 3 Sunday and that time to be determined. But – good luck.
Number one ranked team in the country. Texas is the number one ranked team in the country. Mike White specifically said it's okay to come out and hang out near the fence in the outfield. Seats are actually sold out. He said they sold out in the first couple of hours for the weekend, but you can go to the outfield and watch from there.
Obviously, something with the brackets there. Should Texas advance to the World Series there. Texas and Oklahoma are 1-2 seed. So they are on opposite sides of the bracket. The only way they'd play again is if it was for all the marbles. Oklahoma hit a couple of bombs yesterday and beat FSU 11-3 in their first round game. I believe that was a 5-inning game. So the only way that they'll play again is if it's for the whole enchilada. What a way that would be to exit the Big 12.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Lefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Definitely. Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, some new college football playoff odds came out. These are the updated odds to make the college football playoff. As you can see, Georgia and Ohio State leading the way. And then Texas right behind them, followed by Oregon and then a whole bunch of other schools. But still pretty good odds there for Texas to make that new 12-team playoff.
Well, not nine teams are favored to make the playoffs. Better than even money.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas is better than even money to make the playoffs.
That's crazy to me that LSU's ahead of Alabama. That's wild to me. I mean, LSU lost a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, three first-round receivers if one wasn't betting on his own team, and three NFL draft picks on the defensive line. I mean, they lost a lot of premium position players.
And their offensive coordinator.
Yes, and a new defensive coordinator. I mean, they're breaking in. Now, I think they're getting a lot of run because people are saying they have the best offensive line in college football. Okay. They have some really talented offensive linemen. They're up there with Texas and some other teams, right? But I'm surprised they're ahead of Alabama on that one. That one is a little iffy for me. Then Louisville sitting down there with Oklahoma. I'm shocked Louisville's still on there. They got crushed in the portal this spring. Now, I know they brought in players. But, man, you want to talk about taking some portal hits in the spring. I mean, Louisville has bruises all over them. That was a rough spring. And then USC's getting the benefit of the doubt of being able to stop anybody on third down this year.
A&M is not in a bad situation.
No.
Look where they're sitting at, plus 220. That puts them right at 15th in the country, guys. That is above where a lot of people have expectations. Vegas knows a little something. I'm telling you, Aggies are one deep right now. Pretty strong one deep. They have to do better on offense, execute better on offense, and Elko has to make something of the defense quickly, which I actually think he probably will make something of the defense relatively quickly, better than a year ago, clearly. But I don't know. They're going to have to, you know, Wegman's going to have to be healthy, Connor Wegman, and that offensive line's going to have to come on. They've got running backs. Reuben Owens can go. I mean, good running back. So we'll see how it goes.
I thought the other interesting thing is, James Franklin ahead of Michigan, which I'm not sure
I don't know which way I can lean on that because Drew Allars is he's an NFL quarterback. He's going to be a year two starter with new offensive system, right? But you look at it, at that list too. I mean, I think FSU takes a step back with DJ Uiagalelei. I just don't think he's very good. But he's going to rack up $2.5 million in IL dollars for being overrated coming out of high school. So good for him. But then you have Clemson at plus 180. If Dabo makes the playoff, you'll never hear the end of it. We talked about that. look, I think the pressure, if you look at this, who is the most pressure on as a head coach? Obviously Ryan Day at the top of that list, James Franklin. And then I slide over to Mario Cristobal with Miami. You know, Miami thinks they've got him an NIL roster to get in the playoff. So that he's got a little more pressure on him at Miami than he has before. And I think, you know, Dabo doesn't have pressure because he won a couple of national titles. But if he doesn't ascend a little more this year, doing it his way, lying in the sand, he's going to start feeling a little pressure from his fan base. And then Brent Venables, year three. I mean, you had a good year two. You made a big jump from year one to year two. If you take a step back this year, what is your fan base going to – are they going to be hollering at you? Are they going to be screaming at you? So I think that's what I'm looking at for some of the coaches this year that may have a little more pressure on them than some of the others. And obviously it'd be easy to say Kalen DeBoer has pressure. Yeah, you take over for Nick Saban. But, I mean, that guy's such a proven coach. I mean, Alabama fans are – they're smart. They'll get it.
Someone asked, are Georgia and Ohio State that much better than Texas? Maybe not on a single game day, but I think they have even more depth than Texas does. And barring a injury at quarterback to Georgia, I think that they are – like, if you would tell me that Carson Beck is going to be healthy the whole year, then I would actually go higher than that for Georgia to make the playoffs. I'll put it that way. I think that because of him, he helps all of their other pieces be that much better because they have so many pieces. Ohio State has a lot of seniors coming back, which is one of the reasons why, even though Will Howard pretty much is going to be their quarterback, they have so many pieces coming back on offense and defense that are going to be a little interesting. You know, if anybody is rated low here, is anybody rated too low here, in your opinion, Jerry? Tennessee, I don't think. Missouri, maybe. Alabama, maybe.
You got to see what Missouri replaced on defense.
Yeah.
That to me. You know, I think FSU's too high. Somebody said in the chat, USC, a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure on Lincoln Riley. I agree because he wasn't brought in to finish 19th in the college football playoff and not have any defense at all. So there's a little pressure on Lincoln Riley this year.
Well, you know, what do we need to ask here about this? I mean,
so here's what I say. Who has the Ohio State roster talent 1 through 85 really talented? But what is Will Howard's probably going to decide their season this year?
Yeah,
I think Chip Kelly helps, but he's probably going to decide their season. Oregon at number four. I don't think Dillon Gabriel will be as good as Bo Nix in that offense, but I think Oregon's continued to recruit well, both high school and portal, and have the look of an SEC team physically. So I think 1 through 85, they're talented, but I'm not sure they're going to be as good at quarterback as they were last year. I think Notre Dame is going to be better at quarterback and better at skill than they have been. Ole Miss, if all the portal offensive linemen come through, year three starting quarterback, if Juice Wells is healthy at receiver, they did well in the portal out of D-line. If those guys are motivated and it's their contract year, they should be. Ole Miss, a good spot. Somebody mentioned the Kansas offensive coordinator going to Penn State, Bobby. I think putting him with Drew Allars, a second-year starter who will be an NFL draft pick, does James Franklin finally have the formula that can get him over the top? I think Michigan has great defensive talent. I want to see what their culture's like. LSU's too high. I think Alabama's better than LSU. FSU's too high, too big of a drop off at quarterback. They lost some real difference makers on defense. They'll have good players. Clemson, I'll see it when I believe it. Believe it when I see it. Nico, the quarterback at Tennessee, is the expectations are for him to be great, that he's going to play on half the field, so he better be great. A&M, we'll see offensive line. K-State, a little bit of a wild card because Avery Johnson has to be able to throw the football. They actually had to take him out of games when it was time to throw the football, so he's got to make a big jump in year two. Cristobal's got to learn when to take a knee, but he's got a lot of players. Kyle Whittingham is going to physically beat up the Big 12. Lincoln Riley, we've talked about. Louisville got hammered in the spring portal. And I don't think Jackson Arnold's going to be as good as Dylan Gabriel, so the rest of that team better be really good. And they have good wideouts. That's my take.
That's a lot.
You went down all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's one for you. And we've had a couple of comments about it. We talked a lot about the SEC and Georgia and Texas and potentially Ole Miss being a spoiler, Alabama, LSU, maybe A&M, Tennessee in that category. What about the Big 12? Who takes over for Texas and OU? Is there a bad boy on the block in that category? I mean, is it – a lot of people are saying Utah. Some people are saying Kansas State based on that. I mean, hell, yesterday we saw Oklahoma State listed as a top four team making the playoffs. What do y'all think?
I think Utah, I think Arizona offensively is going to create some issues in the Big 12. I think Texas Tech, from what they're doing in recruiting, I like better than TCU. Obviously, Baylor. I'll be surprised if Jeff Traylor's not the coach there in a few months, which will change the landscape of the Big 12. That's kind of my take, is Utah and Arizona may walk in and do very well this year. Oklahoma State, as long as Gundy's there, is always going to be what they are. At TCU, we'll see. Quarterback had offseason minor surgery on his back. We'll see how he comes back. I think he's fine. But, I mean, Dominic Williams, a huge loss for them. Did they win or lose in the portal at TCU? And how far of a slide are they going to make year in, year out, coming off the great season that Gary Patterson left all the defensive players? I think it's set up for Utah and Arizona. I think the San Jose State coach that went to Arizona is really good, by the way. So he's got quarterback. He's got wide receiver. Maybe the two best in the Big 12. And then Texas Tech, Bobby, I think they're recruiting the right guys and the recruiting at a high enough level to where if they continue that, they're going to have maybe the strongest NIL in the conference. I think they're set up the best.
KU has Jaden Daniels back.
Yeah.
And I would add this one for me is Iowa State. I'm not so sure Iowa State's running back guys. The Sanu, is it Muhammad Sanu? Is that how you say it?
Yeah,
I'm not so sure he's not going to end up being one of the top two or three running backs taken in his class here. I think he's that talented. So we'll see. It's definitely a wide open conference, and we'll see how it shakes out. There's not going to be the 800-pound gorilla in it anymore, I don't think.
All right, Jerry. Well, why don't you tell folks how they can get rid of that 800-pound gorilla?
Wow, Blake, that was great. By the way, we see all you people checking in from the beaches this weekend. Hey, man, I hope you took your 5.0. People are looking. This is, fellas, blink if you haven't purchased a Father's Day gift yet. Yeah, we thought so. Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Maybe your pops has had that crazy ugly bush since the 70s, and that's okay. Our friends at Manscaped have crafted the total package for his special day, whether it's for the boys downstairs, his beard, or even the best pair of underwear out there. Manscaped has his bases covered. Head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code On Texas, all caps, On Texas, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. From daddy to zaddy, trust Manscaped. All right, here's the thing, too. Set of underwear he got for Christmas a decade ago definitely needs upgrading. You know you gave him those underwear 10 years ago. What better way than with Manscaped's Boxers 2.0? I'm a big fan of them. Yeah, I have a pair. Manscaped.com. on Texas, all caps. Jerry Hamilton, bringing it home, bud. Bringing it home. Great Making stuff. The bacon today. That's what you're doing. Just to recap quick comments that we've got going on today. The NCAA came to an agreement yesterday. They will notify their counterparts in a lawsuit that they have agreed to accept the terms of a settlement roughly for $2.8 billion to back pay and forward pay and share revenue with college athletes on a go-forward basis. $2.8 billion. As I mentioned, it was just 20 years ago when they took away a $25 a month stipend for players.
Bobby, how do you think all this impacts Title IX?
I've read multiple articles on this. I've talked to actually some people about it. They don't know because it's going to Jeffrey Kessler, the lawyer for the plaintiffs, said, look, Title IX is not involved here. This is just straight what revenue is owed back to the players. The schools and or states that the schools are part of are going to have to determine what impact Title IX has here. So, we don't know that yet. But it's roughly the tab is roughly $20 million a year in what will be a salary cap of sorts. But they're not going to be able to cap the salary the way they want to do it. And so Title IX is the question, or is a question. I think that most schools will probably treat it similarly, and then there'll be another lawsuit spring out of it. That's, if you want to know the truth, I think that's why what the NCAA is doing here is not necessarily the way to go. But, it is what it is. They're going to pay athletes. I think that's good. Like I said, and I'm just pointing out one person, Bob Bowlesby, the chair or the conference commissioner for the Big 12 in his final year, made $17 million. I think you got enough. I think you got 50 grand laying around for the offensive tackle from Sweeney, Texas, if you're paying the conference commissioner $17.5 million. And he's not doing really anything other than administering. So we'll see how it all ends up. Not sure what this is going to do for Title IX. We're not sure what it does for NIL collectives yet either, although I believe the NCAA is going to try to hammer them a little bit and tighten what they can and can't do, as well as bring it in-house, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, bringing it in-house, but you still can't stop outsourced folks from doing it as well. All right, the other thing I want to mention that we've got going on, we talked about just a minute ago, some recruiting news and notes. Not this weekend, but next weekend, Texas hosts the June 1 visit with a bunch of recruits. It's a junior elite day. And then the three weekends after that, the Longhorns are hosting official visitors for the class of 2025. It is a star-studded group. I think there are 44 official visitors at this time set to come around. The Longhorns, according to what we have here, or what we just discussed, third favorite in Vegas to make the playoffs this year, behind Georgia and Ohio State, odds at -250 as well. We also have something else we want to bring up here, Blake, and that's the strength of schedule for the SEC. Let's talk about that a little bit in this next segment. I think it would be good for people to see it. Blake, can you bring that up if you get a chance?
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Sean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I can. Here we go, guys. So you're looking at Texas opponents' strength of schedule for the SEC alone, SEC opponents.
Yeah. So my reaction, Bobby, Texas has a very favorable first-year schedule in the SEC when you look at what other teams have. Yes, I think Florida has the most difficult schedule I've ever seen in college football. So they're obviously going to be number one by anybody. They have 11 Power 5 opponents in 12 games. I mean, wow, that's what you have the year you have to win to keep your job. And they start the season with Miami and end the season with FSU. Oh, and you have UCF too. Literally, that is the worst schedule to have for a coach that needs to keep his job. Oklahoma with the number three ranked schedule. I think if you look at that, I tend to agree that Texas got a better end of the stick than Oklahoma did in the first year in the Big 12, Bobby. But Texas schedule rank is falling anywhere from 34 to 40 in the country by people. I think that's a great spot to be for Texas.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think that if you're listening to us on a podcast, the screen says strength of schedule ranked nationally. Florida has the number one toughest schedule in the country. Oklahoma has the number three toughest schedule. Vanderbilt number six, Arkansas number nine, Mississippi State number 11, Georgia number 13, Kentucky number 16, and then the Aggies at number 25. If you're counting, that's eight of the toughest 25 schedules in the country that Texas plays against this year. So these teams are going to be battle tested. Now, whether they're any good or not, in the case of Vanderbilt or Arkansas, is a different story. I mean, look at the over-under win total for Florida, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Mississippi State. 4.5 for Florida, 2.5 for Vandy, 4.5 apiece for Arkansas and Mississippi State. So Texas is scheduled, interesting itself, but the just joining the SEC increases your strength of schedule. That's basically what that means.
Look, I'm on record. I think Georgia will drop a game in the SEC this year. But if they go 11-1 with road games at Alabama, at Ole Miss, and at Texas, that's a tip of the duck cap to them. Because, I mean, they have a much more difficult schedule than they had the last couple of years. And look, that doesn't count a rivalry game against Florida. I mean, who knows? I mean, they shouldn't lose that game. But, you know, they play Kentucky. They have some other games on that schedule as well. So, I mean, if you look at Georgia's schedule, that is a difficult schedule for the team ranked number one. With those three road games, neutral against Dabo to start the year too, but that's a home game. That's in Atlanta. But even though Clemson has a lot of fans as well in the area. So, I mean, Georgia has a very difficult schedule if you look at that. That would be – if they pulled 11-1 out of that schedule, they're a hell of a team.
I think they're going to be a hell of a team regardless.
Yeah. That is.
You don't want to play them end of year if they're half of them haven't already, declared for the NFL draft and pulled a Florida State, right? I mean, that's what that's going to be forever called. We've had other teams. I mean, think about that, Jerry, in history. We've had other teams who had and dealt with a lot of declarations towards the NFL. We've never had a wholesale, I mean, just opt out like we saw with Florida State. Yeah. I mean, they went from being a good team to just a shell of themselves when, what, 8 or 9 guys opted out?
Yeah, and that's the
– I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. Has there ever been – can anybody remember another situation like that where that many good players
said adios? I have two thoughts on that. One, Yeah, okay, so all those guys, they felt like they got hosed not making the playoff. I get it. But a lot of those guys were portal players too. They weren't there as FSU lifers and really cared about wearing the scarlet and gold.
That's what it is. Garnet and gold.
Garnet, whatever. A garnet and gold. A Spurrier told me it was scarlet. Liar. All right. So that's one. And then two, I think with this is where the NIL contracts are going to be important moving forward to me. If you want to get paid to play, then you need to play. Yep. I mean, FSU, that was a bad look for the FSU program. Horrible. Because that was a lot of NIL dollars sitting on the sidelines and lost 63-3 in the Orange Bowl. It's a bad look.
100%. Okay, guys. Well, it is time for us to take some super chats here. And we have a few of them that we need to catch up on. This first one here from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay. He says, please explain how we keep all the wide receivers happy this year. I saw a deep dive, and Sark hasn't run a true four wide receiver set once at Texas.
I think that Sark doesn't feel like he needs to run a true four wide. If you have JT Sanders, why do you need to? If you've got Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson and Jonathan Brooks, why do you need to? Who are you going to take? Has Texas had that good of receivers where they need four of them? They haven't. They haven't had those guys. You know? So I don't know that it is absolutely going to be hard to keep everybody happy. But you know how you keep everybody happy? You win.
Yeah. Celebrate after the game on the field.
Yeah, you win. And they do well in NIL. So you're willing to wait. If Texas would have lost last year, what's the likely, and Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore didn't play? Maybe DeAndre Moore and Jonte Cook looking to go somewhere else, but they're not going to win and sit on the bench.
Right.
Okay. Winning is how you keep them happy.
And draft picks.
When
and
they're young.
Yep.
And the guys ahead of them are getting paid.
Draft because, picks. I mean, look, think about how many guys, and I know it's different in the NIL day and age, Bobby, but think about – because, look, who do you aspire to be? You aspire – Nick Saban – Steve Sarkisian, he aspires to have a Nick Saban-like program. That doesn't mean win six national championships in 11 years or 12 years, whatever it was. But recruit at a high level, develop, win, and get those guys to the NFL to live their dream. Nick Saban – a lot of guys that were really talented set – and didn't play a lot for a year at Alabama. And the only way that happens is if you're winning and the guys are getting drafted. If that is the two things, when those kids come in the office, coach, I'm thinking about getting out of here, man. Okay. Well, the last four guys at your position just got drafted. Are you going to trust in our process here? Life's pretty good at Texas for you. We're winning. You get a lot of notoriety. You have NFL scouts coming through here every day of the season, watching all you guys. You're already on their list when your time comes. Are you going to trust the process? Trust what the guys ahead of you did. That's what Nick could always tell his guys. And that's what Sark aspires to be.
All right. Hey, guys, I need to tell folks about our friends at South Point Dodge. Texas football fans score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point. At South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has more than 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff doesn't do games or gimmicks. They just get straight to the point by getting you the best deal. The Stark family there doing a great job at South Point Dodge. So go score big today at South Point Dodge. Come see us off I-35 in South Austin or at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. We appreciate them for their sponsorship of On Texas Football.
By the way, Mike G has a great follow-up to that. Will they still be patient if you're bringing in portal? And let's just not say a portal receivers, but a portal player. That is the difference. I mean, that is why some of the old guard coaches have moved on, right? I mean, that's some of the changes, NIL portal in the college game. that's the area that Steve Sarkisian and these other, these guys now have to navigate a little differently. But as long as those guys come in for a year and they're off to the NFL, there's still a message there.
Yeah, Bond and Bolden are gone pretty much after this year.
Oh, yeah.
So Texas, I mean, they just tested that. Cook and Moore stayed, right? After, and Niblett, after that, Texas brought in not one receiver, but three. Now, Isaiah Bond is expected to go off to the NFL. Silas Bolden will be done with his eligibility. And then Matthew Golden is another one where it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him as far as his eligibility. So, or whether or not he decides to go pro. So I think they will stay again if the climate is right.
Yeah.
And the climate being right means guys are making it to the league ahead of you. You're doing okay in NIL and your team is winning.
And by the way, the portal, if you look a year ahead, a portal for Texas at wide receiver, if Ryan Wingo is what we think he is, and Jontae Cook takes a step and DeAndre Moore takes a step, then Texas won't take three receivers in the portal next year.
No, they may take none.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's not an annual thing. It's an on-need basis thing.
All right, our next Super Chat, fellas, comes from Longhorn Football Edit. Thank you. And he says, does KJ Lacy still seem to be locked in?
I think so. I think as long as it's a one quarterback class and he's the offered quarterback, I think yes. I think there's some dominoes in quarterback recruiting going on right now. Can Auburn flip Julian Lewis? They're giving it their best, right? If that doesn't happen, then Auburn will go even harder on KJ Lacy than they have. And they had three assistant coaches there today. I was at Saraland two and a half weeks ago. They were all defensive coaches because the D lineman, Antonio Coleman, there, the four-star D lineman who keeps going from Alabama to Auburn to Alabama, may end up back at Auburn. Who knows? I mean, with that one. But they're on KJ. But what happens with Julian Lewis? I mean, there's some things going on there in recruiting at quarterback recruiting right now. So some dominoes may still fall in different directions than people think right now and how some of that plays out. I mean, look, if Julian Lewis flipped to Auburn, USC had been in contact with KJ Lacy as of when I was down there 2.5 weeks ago. So there's some dominoes that are going on behind the scenes in quarterback recruiting right now that are going to get interesting next month.
And then our other super chat that we need to knock out is from Slick Rick. Thank you, Slick Rick. And he says, any idea what games will be night games? Well, we know Michigan's not. That's the big noon game for Fox. But other than that, what y'all got?
Neither is Colorado State. That's a 2:30 kickoff and early in the middle of the heat. So those are the only ones we know of. Which ones might be night games? Boy, it'd be interesting if Georgia was. I can tell you that much. Florida. Those would be some atmospheres, I think. In DKR, but
so hey, Bobby, if Georgia and Texas are still ranked top five when they play, that's got to be the 2:30 CBS, right?
I mean, you would think so, Jerry, but you know, there are times when CBS will go primetime,
yeah.
And so they get one or two primetime games a year where they double up on the games and they go back to back. And if Texas and Georgia are undefeated by chance at when they meet, I think they're going to have to try to make that a primetime game. Could be wrong, but I think they will.
Yeah. Oh, so by the way, CBS isn't showing SEC anymore. That's correct.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fox. Sorry. My apologies. Is it Fox or ESPN?
Yeah, it's all ESPN. Sorry. Yeah, ESPN. I forgot that wasn't the this was the year it changed. I thought it was next year.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island.
It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries.
Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves.
Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yeah. Okay, we have a lot more questions, guys, so we'll get to as many as we can. But first, I want to read this from Rodney D. He says, Jerry, thanks for dropping by the Houston Lunch Group yesterday / Thursday. Appreciate you and your time to talk Texas football with the full room. Look forward to seeing you drop back by soon.
Thank you, Rodney, and all the guys that came out. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. So, by the way, Georgia-Texas will be a night game on ESPN. No doubt. It'll be college game day in the day, night game on ESPN. That'll be the prime timer.
And our next question, guys, comes from Jarrett Johnson. And Jarrett says, on the offensive side of the ball, Choice has proven he's an elite recruiter. But who's the go-to recruiter on the defensive side?
It looks like it might be becoming Johnny Nansen.
In California, in the state of California. Now, see if you can get three of those guys, nine official visitors signed. But I think Johnny Nansen on the West Coast, and that's Las Vegas, that's California, that'll be a little bit in Arizona, and just all up along the West Coast, I think that was a very strong hire for what Steve Sarkisian wants to do in his perfect drawn-out recruiting geography. Strong presence in California, and as the head coach, it can't be as strong with him as the head coach as he'd like to be. Johnny Nansen, a great hire for that. Staying in Arizona. Obviously, he coached at Arizona, but him and Jeff Banks have recruited Arizona. Chris Jackson being modern day. But I think that hire Nansen takes you up the West Coast more so in the Las Vegas. Tia Savea is a Desert Pines guy, I believe. So you in Texas is bringing a linebacker for an official visit from Bishop Gorman. First official visitor, I think, in 3 years from Las Vegas. So with Johnny Nansen, I think you're seeing that whole West Coast, seeing him work out there. And I think that's big for Sark because he wants to have the West Coast, a strong presence there. And then he wants that Texas all along I-10 and along I-20, Bobby. That's really the whole key.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Dude. If you're looking at the Texas staff right now, you mentioned Tashard Choice being a rainmaker of sorts, but you also have Jeff Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Blood on the offensive side of the ball that are very proven recruiters, too. You may not have as many on defense. You just might not. Johnny Nansen, I think Terry Joseph's been okay. I think Blake Gideon's been okay. I don't know that either of them are considered elite recruiters at this point. Kenny Baker, we'll see. Jeff Choate and Bo Davis are both gone from a year ago. So, Pete Kwiatkowski is a good recruiter, but I wouldn't call him a great recruiter. That's not what he's supposed to be. So we'll see. Casey, I think, has a good point there. A lot riding on Kenny Baker, a lot riding on him because this is his first year, Jerry, playing in the big leagues as a recruiter. It is a step up. Now he's coached for the Dolphins, et cetera. So he should be ready to go, but it's different recruiting at Western Kentucky than Texas.
And I'll say this for Texas. These are big NIL recruitments. I mean, I'm not taking any away from Bo Davis or Kenny Baker. I just remain the same on this, man. You go in the battle for the coveted position in the SEC region. Hey, I mean, you can talk about who the guy is recruiting them, but I'm not even sure it matters. I mean, those guys have to have enough relationships, but I'm not sure it matters. Yep. Relationships have to be there, but dudes aren't going to be committing as a D tackle from Georgia or Florida or Alabama because, hey, I like to have a great relationship with Coach X. Not happening. Not down there. Too big of battles.
All right, Travis, I want y'all to call your shot here. He says, who scores first for Texas this year?
Bert Auburn.
You turkey. You can't say Bert Auburn. Come on. I'm going Jonte Cook. I'm going Jonte Cook on some sort of little slant route. RPO action. Bob Shipley and Rod Babers talked about the RPO last night on Football Theory. Guys, I thought it was a really good segment. I think Jonte Cook's going to be one of those guys that's going to go first. Either that or Cedric Baxter.
So I was joking around, obviously. I'm going big on this. I'm going big.
What is that?
I think it's going to be Matthew Golden. And it's either going to be a kickoff return or touchdown catch.
Interesting.
It wouldn't shock me if he didn't come out swinging in a kickoff return to start the season.
Hey, he only had 9. People don't realize this. He had 9 kick returns all of last year. Just 9. He scored on 2 of them.
Yeah.
Another one of them he took out to the 50-yard line against Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he had 4 or 5 go at least to the 45 and beyond of 9 kicks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a knack. You better not kick it short to that dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a feel for it.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Our next question here comes from Hioli Frioli 93. And he says, do you think that Jordan Washington can have a bigger breakout season than Sanders had, whether it be his freshman or sophomore year?
I'm going to say no. And the reason I'm going to say no is because Jordan Washington actually is already on a trajectory not to be a breakout guy. And what I mean by that is JT Sanders literally didn't play at all his freshman year. And I think Jordan Washington is going to see some time this year. So I don't know that he's going to be a quote-unquote breakout guy. I see a more subtle rise for him. If y'all recall, JT Sanders came in. I mean, y'all want to talk about a guy that didn't do well in the weight room as it relates to the NFL combine. Coming out of high school, he didn't do much at all. And he really reshaped his body his freshman to sophomore year at Texas and got to actually looking like a tight end. So Jordan Washington's already a little bit there, Jerry. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying he's not going to be as good or better than JT Sanders. So that's not the question. I'm just saying, I don't consider it a quote-unquote breakout because I think he's going to be more of a steady riser because I think he's already got more legs under him, more positive things going in his direction.
Yeah, I think it's a great spot for Jordan Washington, too. When JT came in, he didn't play, like you said, his freshman year. Dad that's really speed up his development and push him to the field, so to speak. I think a great thing for Jordan Washington, who's still a younger football player, was a basketball guy, transitioning back to football. Todd Thompson did a great job with him at Langham Creek. I've said it before. I'll continue to say it. He didn't just split him out at wide receiver and make it easy for him at Langham Creek and just throw him go routes. He could have done that easily. He made him play in the box. He moved him around. He actually made him be a true tight end at the high school level, which a lot of guys don't, because that doesn't necessarily help you win games. It's easier to just throw the go route, score a touchdown to those guys. So I thought Todd Thompson did a great job. But I said all that to say this. With Gunnar Helm being a very experienced player, which he wasn't when JT became a player at the tight end position, and Nye Black transferring in, it's a great situation for Jordan to get his feet wet this year, learn from Banks, learn from Gunnar Helm, learn from some of those older guys, build up his, as Rod calls it, his armor, And then really hit the field running in year two. He'll see the field this year, but I think year two, that guy will be an impact player.
Before we get to our last question of the day, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about BKCW one last time?
Yeah, absolutely. Really appreciate these guys. They've been with us for a year now. BKCW, Austin-based business owned by UT grads. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing no value, and you're really stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW takes you out of the insurance trap by providing actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risks. Get started with a free risk assessment at bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com to get started and get the support you deserve. Hook them. Thank you, BKCW.
I just want to bring this up. We're working on it. Hopefully this summer, maybe him and Sean will come on the same show. We already had Sean.
We would love to have Casey Hampton on.
Yeah.
Love to have Casey on.
Our last question for today comes from Archmania. He says, we're going to have to face the fact that we may be losing some key assistants next year due to our own success. Who do you think would be the toughest to replace?
Bobby, I'll let you hit the toughest to replace, but I want to say this. I'm going to say the same thing I said about players going to the draft early. If Texas has a couple of assistants that get head coaching jobs, that means Texas was probably in the playoff again this year. So let's hope it happens. Let's hope it happens.
Jeff Choate gets the job at Nebraska or in Nevada. He's the linebacker coach at Texas.
Yep.
You win, your guys are going to get jobs.
Yep.
That's how it works. The two that I think would be toughest for Texas to replace, a lot of people are mentioning Tashard Joyce, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I'm going to go with two different ones. I would say Jeff Banks and Kyle Flood.
Yeah.
Jeff Banks is integral in recruiting across not just his own position, but everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he is Sark's right-hand guy when it comes to recruiting, except I will say – Tashard Choice handles all the running backs, and Kyle Flood handles all the offensive line. That's why I mentioned Flood next, because he's at a position that has proven, and he's proven himself to recruit in volume as well as at a high level.
Yeah.
At a position that needs volume and requires high level at the league you're going into.
I would say
Banks followed by Kyle Flood.
By the way, so think about this for me.
Only on recruiting, by the way.
Yeah. On Flood, think about this from a Texas fan perspective. If 3 years ago, I would have told you you'd sign an offensive lineman from Washington, California, be in the final two of it, one of the top guys in Georgia, be in the top two from a kid from Iowa, right? I mean, Orlando. I mean, just think about places Texas hasn't been at that position before or in a really long time. That's he's a national recruiter on the offensive line in a state where it's really talented as well. So you have to recruit really well in state, but just the places he's been and brought guys to Texas on that position. But the interesting thing with Flood is he's already been a head coach at Rutgers, right? So it would have to be a special situation.
Okay, guys, well, that's going to do it for today's edition of Coffee and Football. We want to thank BKCW along with Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. Got to thank all of you for tuning in, for the great questions, the super chats. If you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button, ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we go live or post any kind of video. And then also head on over to ontexasfootball.com for further discussion. Bobby, CJ, Jerry, the guys are constantly bringing the goods over there. So if you're not a member, you're missing out. Go check that out, ontexasfootball.com. And for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you Monday morning. But, of course, have a lot more stuff in between then.
Yeah, please check out ontexasfootball.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island.
It's Sean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.